Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Been a busy week once again in Washington, D.C., as Donald Trump is going about taking care of business on a whole number of fronts. Scott, good to have you with us.
Well, it's great to be back, Loman.
A lot of Americans, I would venture to say, Scott, probably most Americans, haven't heard of USAID. However, it's been the big story this week. Want to tell us what it is and what the Trump administration has done?
USAID is the United States Agency for International Development, and it's receiving billions and billions of dollars in taxpayer money to basically do foreign aid all throughout the world and advance sometimes American priorities and sometimes more of a political agenda of a previous administration. We all recognize that Donald Trump ran on an America First agenda, and so last week he did a little bit of a reorg and got rid of the administrator of the USAID and instead made Marco Rubio acting director and folded the responsibilities of USAID into the State Department. This week, they sent out an agency-wide memo that most employees were going to be terminated unless they served a purpose of national security, in which case they'll be folded into the State Department system. So that's really sort of been a shockwave to the Washington, D.C. area, where thousands and thousands of workers live, and certainly their families impact everything from our local economy to housing and everything far and in between. So that's been sort of fascinating to watch. Trump has also issued this directive calling on federal workers to stop working remotely and to actually show up into the office full-time. And if they hadn't complied within that executive order within 30 days, there was going to be reports from all the managers in the system. And, I think what we've seen now is a lot more traffic in Washington, D.C., a city that, quite honestly, has quite a bit of traffic normally. So people are coming back to work for the most part. However, Trump also finally issued another directive allowing federal workers to take early retirement or termination by February 6th. In exchange, they would be paid through September 30th. We're still getting the final numbers on exactly how many federal workers took Trump up on that offer, but it's going to be far exceeding 40,000 federal workers. And ultimately, that'll reduce the size and scope of the federal government, which has really become this huge, huge leviathan and entity that infringes upon the American people's rights and uses our taxpayer dollars in ways that we're not quite comfortable with. So that's been sort of the big story here in Washington, D.C. over the last week or so.
All of this, of course, being done by executive order, but congressional action is needed in order to enact a large part of the president's agenda. That going to be done through a process known as reconciliation. Where do we stand with that, Scott? And also, we have the continuing budget resolution with another deadline about to expire.
We passed the continuing resolution to extend federal funding back in December, and it included additional supplemental funding and making sure that the Biden administration kind of could pay off all their corruption, I guess, at the end of the term. But we have an expiration of the continuing resolution on March 14th. And when that happens, you'll see a big, big negotiation between House Republicans, Senate Republicans, and the White House. You obviously need cloture on legislation like that. That's not a reconciliation package. So extending federal funding will take votes from Democrats. And I'm hoping now that our Republican leadership finally learns how to negotiate and doesn't go to Democrats on the front end, but can walk into the room with a united front from all Republicans supporting a bill. And too often, we sort of lock out the conservative caucus, we lock out the far right, and we strike these uniparty deals that only expand the size, scope, and costs of the federal government. And we need to make sure that that does not happen on March 14th. Meanwhile, Congress is still figuring out if they can mark up a budget resolution to give us the reconciliation instructions so that we can have energy reforms, border security money, and also extend those really important tax cuts from 2017, which expire at the end of 2025, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, also known as the Trump tax cuts. So this big negotiation has been ongoing. House Republicans were in Florida last week. I remember we talked about this briefly. And what sort of came out of that meeting was the leadership is trying to provide a deficit instruction within reconciliation so that we can cut back federal spending, which has grown so much since COVID during the 2020 year. And that baseline is basically locked in. So there's Republicans that are like, hey, why don't we roll back to pre-COVID levels? We can adjust it for historic inflation. We can adjust it for population growth. But just baking in the growth of government from COVID doesn't make a whole lot of sense because the result has been $2 trillion deficits. Well, what the leadership came back with was let's cut $500 billion. Well, that sounds like a lot of money, but not when it's in the scope of a 10-year plan. And, you know, if you think about it only being $50 billion a year compared to a $2 trillion annual deficit, that's just sort of a drop in the bucket. And we need our legislators to get serious, roll up their sleeves, and make tough decisions that actually fix the economy, fix inflation, fix the printing of money, and isn't such a big concern about whether or not they're going to get reelected in 2026. I'm really looking forward to seeing what sort of a deficit reduction is included, along with the important extension of the tax cuts. The senators, I think, have come to a good position where they're going to take on a current policy baseline, which basically assumes that the Trump tax cuts are permanent and you don't need to be paying for tax cuts. You know, it's a constant reminder for the American people. We are still collecting record levels of revenue, and we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. So we need to cut spending while we cut taxes. The final thing I would just add on that, Loman, is we're going to collect over $60 trillion in revenue over the next 10 years. And if you can't cut, you know, $5 trillion or $4 trillion or a couple trillion dollars in a bill and make those promises today, then I think, you know, we need people in Washington that are ready to finally make those difficult decisions to save America.
We have been talking with Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. And Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Well, Club for Growth is based in Washington, D.C., but we have members from all 50 states in the country, totaling 525,000 members. You can check us out at clubforgrowth.org and become a member for free.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, we'll check in with you next week. Thank you.
You're welcome.